Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Thank you for sharing your Wednesday morning with us. We'll reward you here on O'Connor and Company because coming up at 8:05, Josh Kroshauer will join us from National Journal to give analysis and breakdown of a very big day in American politics yesterday with all the primaries. 8:35, we'll speak with Karen Durham Aguilera from Arlington National Cemetery, talk about this weekend's Memorial Day events. And look who's also with us all morning. It's Mary Catherine Hamm.
Hello.
It's good to have you, Mary Catherine.
Thank you.
Joining us right now is Governor Scott Walker, the great state of Wisconsin. Now, of course, the president of Young America's Foundation. Good morning, Governor Walker.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
You know, listen, we want to talk to you about it's commencement season, and I know that y'all at YAF are tracking all the commencement speakers and speeches and what our kids are hearing. But as a former governor and also as someone who now works with young people at the high school level and college level, I'd love for you to reflect yesterday's shooting down in Texas and sort of, I don't know what to make. So many people run into their corners and run into their safe little camps of Second Amendment and gun control laws and all of these things that we just get tired of hearing. There's got to be more to this than that, Governor Walker.
Yeah, I wish we all had just one simple answer. I remember I was with last night with both of my nieces, one's going to graduate in a few weeks from a school in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and the other one is just a freshman, her first year. And I remember actually a few years ago, the one who's a senior was at a school when there was a shooting. Now, thankfully, it didn't affect her, but it was, you know, jarring at the time. And we've had these issues for a long time. When I was first a state lawmaker, we had a disgruntled former high school student who came back and did something at one of the schools in the area where represented Wauwatosa. So I wish there was some simple magical answer. I know the problems that we have not only with schools but elsewhere exist in states that are very free in gun laws, and they're true in places that have very restrict gun laws. So I know it can't just be what the laws are. Obviously, you mentioned the Second Amendment, have real concerns, particularly when I see what's happening in Ukraine about the idea of taking away people's rights to have firearms. But I also understand as a parent and now as an uncle how very concerning it is. I just wish there was a magical thing. I think it's governor. It's a series of things. It's more than anything, though. It's trying to deal with teaching people respect for others and recognizing in many cases serious mental health issues that often lead to people being in a point where they're willing to do something like this.
Yeah. On that note, Governor, I wanted to ask you about, you know, you work with young people, and I've been increasingly concerned watching as kids return to schools and there's increased behavioral problems. There's a spike in suicide in college students, particularly female athletes, which is, I was an athlete in college, and it just speaks to me when I hear these terrible stories. Do you run into that in your work with young people? What are their experiences coming out of the pandemic and how they're adjusting to life?
Mm-hmm. Oh, with some of the surveys and polling we've done, and to be real careful not to equate all this directly to what happened in Texas, but I just know in a broader general sense, yeah, the last 2 years has had devastating impacts. We said it, I remember writing about it early on, not only for the economy, but saying, you know, even when it came to healthcare, saying if one of the biggest areas of layoffs were people who weren't involved with COVID and emergency care, and I warned there was going to be a spike in other diseases where people weren't going in for preventable responses to things like cancer, and if you don't go in for your checkups, you don't get early detection. And I think that's particularly true when it comes to mental health, not just other parts of our health for anyone, but particularly in schools. You got all this stress, you got all these kids who are way behind. The data shows it in Wisconsin and across the country, all these young people who are way behind in things like math and in reading. Particularly in high poverty areas. So you get to that, you add to that the fact that online is just not working. The schools in many cases weren't equipped for it. There's absolute chaos. Sometimes they don't have the equipment itself. And then you just add social. We all know, I mean, I come from a state where it's not all the time, but cold, good chunks in the middle of the year. We know just getting people out and seeing the sun, seeing other people, what an impact that can have. So you get all those things out there. And then the other thing, and I don't want to make everything political, but I do think there's something to it, this whole woke agenda. We don't teach kids any resilience. We don't teach them about American and world history, about how things have happened before, how we've gotten through them, how we're going to get through this. If they think something like this global pandemic is literally the end of the world, and then they don't have any other people around them to support them, you can see, again, not that that in any way equates to what happened in Texas yesterday, but I think overall, it's not surprising that we've seen a spike in mental health, and in particular, even in things like overdoses of fentanyl and other areas, because of people are just don't know how to deal with this all. We got to do a better job of teaching, particularly young people, that we are going to make it through, teach them resilience, and teach them the facts about how we've made it through as a society and tough things before, and we will in this case, too.
Yeah, it is obviously a larger and more complicated issue, and I wish we had, grown-ups at the helm who approached it that way instead of divisive politics every single time. Our guest is Governor Scott Walker, and I'd love for you to reflect now as the president of Young America's Foundation. You focus so much on what's going on our college campuses, and I know you've done an analysis of the commencement speeches. I'm going to my daughter's. I feel really You think you're old. My daughter's graduating from UCLA next month, and I have a feeling that I'm not going to be ideologically in line with the commencement.
You're not the commencement speaker?
No, they didn't ask me for this one, believe it or not. What's it looking like out there, Governor Walker?
Yeah, it's not good. We do a survey every year of the top 100. So according to U.S. News and World Report, the top 100 universities in America. And you'll be shocked, I'm sure, just shocked to know that there's a mere three who are actually conservatives. In fact, all three you can explain away. Virginia Tech has Glenn Youngkin, of course, the relatively new governor of the Commonwealth. Tim Tebow, the former professional football player, and in this instance, more importantly, the Heisman Trophy winner and the guy who brought a championship to the University of Florida is at Florida. So he's more there as a sports icon, although he is conservative and pro-life. And the other one's the Prime Minister of Greece, who's conservative, and the reason he spoke at Boston College, I think, is probably more than anything because his wife graduated in political science from Boston College in 1989.
Wait. Of the three conservatives, only one of them is an elected official from this country? They had to go all the way to Greece for the other one?
Well, exactly. And they all three have, like, reasons that aren't because they're conservatives, but they're either geography-based or somehow a connection to something that they or someone in their family did at that institution. And actually, in particular, I'd encourage people to read the Prime Minister of Greece, make some interesting insights. In 1990, his commencement speaker was the Chancellor of Germany as they were just coming out of the Berlin Wall coming down, and had some great insights and connections to where we're at with Ukraine and Russia today. But that just shows you that, and this is, as you guys know, this is not just commencement speakers. This is indicative of their entire college education. You know, when professors, when they do these surveys, I think back in 99, it was like 4.5-1 Democrat over Republican registration. You fast forward about a decade and a half, and it's like 10-1. I think today that doesn't even accurately reflect it because those are Democrat versus Republican. That doesn't account for the radical socialist who think Democrats are too far to the right. That just shows you what most of these students are up against. And I think you'll feel it when you're at UCLA and others. I'm just amazed our kids have made it through 4, sometimes 5 years of radical indoctrination and still are somewhat sane.
Well,
nicely done.
Thankfully, with Young America's Foundation helping out on those campuses, that gives them a fighting chance. And we're glad that you're at the helm, and we love that organization. Governor Scott Walker, as always, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
It is 7:15.
The latest news and information sent straight to your inbox with the WMAL newsletter.
Register today at WMAL.com/email.
Well, it's official now. They announced that Jen Psaki, the former White House press secretary, will be joining MSNBC this fall. And, this is what Andrew Breitbart would call the Democrat media complex. There's just you can move right from the White House and within months be anchoring a show on cable news.
You can negotiate with cable news while you're at the podium.
It's really something, isn't it? Listen, I'm sure that she'll be very popular with the audience at MSNBC. My impression is her best moments as press secretary for the White House happen, at least the best moments that work on cable news and actually sort of show your personality. You got to have a personality to do a job of hosting a show on cable news. And if you're a good White House correspondent or White House press secretary, you don't really show a lot of personality.
Yeah, you don't really want that.
No, right? Unless you get
challenged.
In that
particular job.
So when she did show some personality that actually showed some level of, you know, depth was when she was sparring with Peter Ducey.
Yes.
And I assure you there will not be a Peter Ducey kind of character on the set there, even as just a, you know, 5-minute segment, because they don't have people who disagree on MSNBC.
Right. So I used to do segments on CNN with Jen Psaki and always had a nice time, found her to be an honest broker. Obviously, the job at the podium is a different job.
Sure.
But somebody who was I could go back and forth with. I think you're right that her where she shined was when she was sparring with someone. And I think one of the advantages, one of her advantages, and I do not say this as a knock because it's a skill in that job, was to be sort of bland and like, you know, it's not an exciting delivery.
Kind of vanilla,
right.
If we can. And vanilla's fine. I like vanilla.
Now, in the transition to cable news host, obviously the personality is very important to that job. You will notice that on MSNBC, Simone Sanders, the former Kamala staffer and Bernie before that,
mm-hmm.
who has a gigantic personality.
Yeah.
Her show has not done well off the bat. And she has the same ideological well of goodwill mm-hmm. from the MSNBC viewers. So I'm interested to see how Psaki's personality works, because Simone Sanders has a lot going on and she's always been a very vibrant TV presence. Psaki's much more subdued.
Yeah.
And carrying a show is hard. You'll notice I don't carry one.
I think,
although my personality is gigantic.
You certainly could if you wanted to. I just think you have other priorities right now. No? All right.
It sounds like a lot of work.
I think the problem here is the revolving door between politics and stuff. In my lifetime, there has only been one person who's been able to do both jobs very well, and that was Tony Snow.
Yes.
And Tony Snow was
don't forget Dana Perino.
And Dana Perino. I'll give you Dana Perino. Although, to be fair, I don't know. Her show is not really an opinion.
She's not being an anchor. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But in general, I think that they're two very, very different skill sets.
Yes.
And I think that it's much easier to move the way Tony Snow did, which was, you know, a radio talk show host, columnist, television host from a perspective-based point of view kind of thing. And then, okay, he got a calling. He, you know, the President Bush called him at a time of war and said, I need you to be our spokesperson. It's hard to say no.
Yes.
Very different than doing the George Stephanopoulos, which is like a career political guy and then swinging in over to the host job. It makes me uncomfortable in general. I don't like blurring the lines between media and politics.
No, I think the George Stephanopoulos of the world, great, great, fair debate questions for Republicans all the time, unfailingly.
Honest broker.
Things that Republican voters are interested in.
And when he left the Clinton White House, he completely cut off all ties to politicians, you're right.
Full disclosure all the time.
Mm.
All these guys.
I'm sure we'll expect the exact same from Jen Psaki. It's 7:21.
Making sense of your world.
And you got good analysis on stuff.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
And I wanted to say how much I appreciate that.
Making sense of the news.
Want to meet someone not online? At It's Just Lunch, we make great matches and even arrange the dates so you can make a real connection with a real person. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits. Guaranteed dates. Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699.
Now,
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
WMAL. On O'Connor and Company, good morning. Good Wednesday morning on a very busy day. And we'll continue to deliver more details of that fatal school shooting down in Texas as they become available. And as usual, the families are absolutely in our prayers as they deal with the most horrific news one could ever receive about their little children. And both Mary Catherine Hamm, who joins us all morning, and I, we are parents of children, including your young children, Mary Catherine. And it's a very hard story to cover and discuss, but we're We're doing it as best we can this morning.
It's really terrible.
Coming up later this morning, 8:05, Josh Kroshar will join us, National Journal, on yesterday's primaries. And at 8:35, Karen Durham Aguilera, Executive Director of Arlington National Cemetery, on this Memorial Day. And yes, Mary Catherine Hamm with us all morning as well. It's great to have you with us, Mary Catherine, especially when we talk about this guy. That's right.
I'm afraid I don't know who that is.
Wait a minute. Everybody knows
who is this
Prince.
Artiste.
By the way, why did we have to come in with Raspberry Beret instead of Little Red Corvette? Honestly, Raspberry Beret is one of the examples I'm going to use in this conversation about how Prince and his musical genius transcends even bad songs, because this is, objectively speaking, a terrible song.
How dare you?
It's an awful song, but I still sort of you get it caught in your head. Thanks, Michael. And now it's stuck in my head, and I'll just be singing Raspberry Beret for the rest of the day. We raised this issue because one Michael Knowles, conservative commentator, podcaster, and bon vivant over at Daily Wire, he took to Twitter yesterday, Mary Catherine, and said, I'm going to pause here. I know Michael. I like him. I think he's very smart. A complete and total moron.
This take is bad.
In this, it's a real bad take here, all right? And I get frustrated. With, I'd love to. We should get Michael. Let's get Michael on the show. He's sleeping, please. He's got the life of Riley. We got to get Michael because I feel like sometimes, and let's face it, Daily Wire is run by Ben Shapiro, and Ben is famous for this kind of thing. They take to social media and they provide a take that they know is going to get people annoyed.
Some heinous cultural and pop culture take.
Yes. And here we are feeding the beast, because when was the last time we talked about Michael Knowles on this program?
I mean,
so frankly, I blame us. In fact, let's just change the subject now.
It's an historically bad take, which must be dealt with.
Exactly. Immediately. By me. Here's what his take. Are you ready? Michael Knowles. No one is actually Let me pause for a minute. He's responding to a tweet that says, best Prince song of all time, but you aren't allowed to say Purple Rain or When Doves Cry. So someone took to Twitter and said, give us your favorite Prince song. And his response was, no one is actually a Prince fan. Most people know two words of the chorus of Purple Rain, but I'm not convinced that anyone has ever heard another Prince song.
Straight crazy.
So says Michael Knowles.
Straight let's go crazy.
Seriously?
Oh,
hey. I mean,
this man.
He could have said, I'm not a fan of Prince. I don't like his songs.
This young man was born too late. And he's showing his age.
I hate to do this because when I was young, I was rather precocious. I was advanced for my age. I was doing things that no one else my age should have done. I didn't want to slip into that, Mary Catherine. But
well, I'm here for it.
Well, and you're absolutely right. This is the problem. He has no business commenting on all of these songs that were, sorry to say, Michael, written before you were born.
Well, it's okay if you want to comment on things that were written before you were born. You just have to have some knowledge of that period of time. I will talk about the Beatles, but it's because I got a very solid education from my father.
But what you wouldn't say is, oh, I don't think anybody even knows a Beatles song. I mean, what is...
Zero Beatles songs. By the way, from Little Red Corvette, I just want to say that one of the slyest and most hilarious lyrics of all time is, I guess I should have closed my eyes when you drove me to the place where your horses run free, because I felt a little ill when I saw the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me.
What?
Well, what does it mean?
I have no idea what that could possibly mean.
That's always cracked me up every time I hear it.
I will never forget one of my friends in high school when it would, this earliest stuff came out, by the way, before I date myself. Really, really early Prince stuff. But they started reading these. I think it was, I've got a lion in my pocket and it's ready to roar.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, can you believe he said that? And I was clueless. I was like, what? He said what?
What does that mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about. And I really didn't.
He was something else.
Michael Knowles. It did not end well for Michael Knowles. He got attacked from all sides. But that was kind of the point, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's why they do this.
Again, here we are. Making it happen.
I remember before Ben Shapiro was Ben Shapiro over at Big Hollywood. We would both. You know, over in the early days of Big Hollywood, we didn't have access to our traffic and Chartbeat and all those things. We would measure our articles based on how many comments we got.
Right.
Which, of course, is the worst possible measure of how well your column does. And I would always get ticked off because every few weeks, Ben Shapiro, little, you know, 25-year-old Ben Shapiro, would write an article with the headline, 20 reasons why Alfred Hitchcock is a mediocre film director. You know,
have you trolled your audience today?
Right, exactly. Why do we fall for that? And yet here we are. You're right. Michael Knowles.
Look, it needs to be refuted.
It must. Exactly. And if we don't, who will do it? Michael Knowles was born in 1990. So that right there. I'm sorry. And here's the thing. Michael Knowles is very smart and has really, really interesting insights on things for a guy born in 1990. This ain't one of them.
Prince, and by the way, Prince, not just popular and people know a bunch of his songs, but also a legit genius, like a musical genius.
Oh, and forget about just what he was able to do with Prince and the Purple Revolution, but also with all the other acts that he brought forth and made stars out of.
Isn't it Eric Clapton who was asked what it was like to be the best guitarist in the world? And he said, I don't know, ask Prince.
There you go, Michael Knowles. All right, are we done here? Just as a quick review, When Doves Cry, 1984. Little Red Corvette, 1982. Most Beautiful Girl in the World, 1995. Raspberry Beret, 1985. If I Was Your Girlfriend, 1987. Kiss, 1986. By the way, his version of Kiss isn't even the best. It's the Tom Jones cover, which is the best. I Want to Be Your Lover, 1970. Again, all songs that were written well before Michael Knowles ever saw the light of day. Stay in your lane, Knowles. It's 743.
Making sense of your world.
Thank you guys for all that you do.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
I listen to you every day.
Making sense of the news.
Wait, now we're just trolling Michael Knowles right back. That'd be great. You know, he does a podcast. His producer should just play Prince music on all his ins and outs, right? Over at Daily Wire.
It's like an education.
We are we're focusing on yesterday's primary results, too. At the same time, we focus on the horrific shooting in Texas. And is it me? Marjorie Taylor Greene won her primary, which there's a lesson to be learned there, and I want to get to. But every time I see MTG, you know the fantasy card game Magic the Gathering?
Yes, I do.
I want to call her Congresswoman Magic the Gathering. I don't know why, but I just cannot, and I have to remind myself what the actual name is, because MTG just...
That nerd inside you will
nerdy?
Never,
is that
will
a
never
little,
be gone, Larry.
I think I said too much. but she did win her primary, and maybe there's a lesson to be learned here that, you know, the voters of the district decide who their representative is, and they seem perfectly happy with her, and maybe everyone in Washington who doesn't like Marjorie Taylor Greene should just sort of take a backseat and say, you know what, we've got 435 districts, and I don't like who the voters in Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib's district choose to represent them, but they get to have the final say.
Now, and interestingly, she was renominated by 53 points, and the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who is on the opposite end of the party spectrum from her when it comes to sort of Trumpism and the stop the steal.
Right.
He won by 20 points in the same district.
In the same district.
Yes.
So maybe we should just trust the voters to decide for themselves.
By the way, some of these wins for those who were not endorsed by Trump may indeed be some Dem crossover voting.
Oh, yeah.
But we shall see what happens in November. I don't anticipate that will mean that they lose a lot of support in November.
I doubt it. We'll get some more analysis with Josh Krashauer coming up at 8:05 from National Journal, who's forgotten more about politics than I'll ever know. Meanwhile, as we talk about violence in the schools down in Texas, let's not lose sight of violence right here at home. And we had another horrific Alexandria City High School dust-up fight. This actually mirrors an event that happened earlier in the school year where a fight that started at Alexandria City High School then rolled over to this McDonald's, which I think is right across
the
street.
It's very close to the school.
Yeah, or right around there. And there was a stabbing that was part of this fight. Dozens of kids involved in this, and it turns out there was a death. Have they named this? Because I don't want to... they have not named the victim, but there was an 18-year-old senior just on the brink of graduating high school stabbed to death right here in Alexandria City High School. And let's just be clear, as we hear calls for gun laws and gun controls and the problem with gun violence, and I don't want to drag into that argument right now. I truly don't. But there's something very, very broken going on in our society, in our culture, and clearly with this stabbing in Alexandria, it proves that there will be tragedy regardless of whether kids get a gun in their hands or
not. Right. No, I think the reentry to normal life post-pandemic, particularly in places where school and regular functions were absent for long periods of time, has been really tough for kids. They had a very bad go of it. If their homes weren't stable, a lot of stable homes became unstable.
Yeah.
And sitting on a screen for many hours a day is bad for you.
Yeah.
It's bad for your mental health. And so they're all coming back together, and we're seeing just exponential jumps in real behavior problems. And then you had the added dark hilarity of the Alexandria Public Schools saying, we'd like to not have the resource officers at the schools. And then immediately we're like, wait, that was a bad idea.
Never mind. Yeah. And by the way, the same people who are lamenting this right now and saying we have to do something, we have to pass more laws, they were the same ones who told us how resilient the kids were. The children are so resilient with remote learning and not socializing and seeing their friends or even being able to go to a playground that was strapped off with yellow police caution tape as if a murder had taken place at your local swing set.
Because being outside and young was a real death sentence.
Right. But, the kids are resilient. Don't worry, the kids are resilient. And now you see these killings, and this fight in Alexandria involved 30 to 50 high school students, and one got stabbed to death. But, the kids are resilient.
Well, I have thoughts about the kids are resilient. Kids can be resilient. They can go through a lot of stuff. That does not mean we should put them through things that are unnecessary. And one of the ways we do that is that adults are resilient on their behalf so that they are then shielded. We deal with issues like COVID like adults, and we weigh risks like adults, and we don't cancel school for a year and a half, and then those kids are in a better place because we weren't scared and we did the right thing. But that is not what happened, famously, in most of America's cities.
Mary Catherine Hamm has graduated from precocious young upstart with a take to a wise, wise woman.
Thank you.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.